Hello, everybody, and welcome to another P&L podcast, where we speak about things under the sun, anything, to be honest, really. And you have your host here, Mr. Pierre Henry.
Hello.
And your other host, which is Elle. Hi.
Hello, Elle.
So today is going to be a bit of an interesting topic. Don't you think so, Mr. Pierre?
You are an imposter.
Dun dun dun! Did you know that there is actually a famous game called what was it? It's the game's objective is to find who the imposter is.
Ooh.
Yeah. What is it called? Like I don't know. Like Among Us. Yes. Thank God, I figured it out in my head. It's a game called Among Us. There are players and you speak to each other, of course. Mm-hmm. It's like you're in some sort of like, I don't know, like you speak among each other. Like it's a Discord or something. So you discuss among the players, somebody is going to be assigned as an imposter. So
And no one knows.
Nobody knows, only you. And so everybody will try to figure out who the imposter is and they have to collaborate. And sometimes the imposter has to frame people. Like it's really like interesting, and it blew up I think 2 years ago. Don't quote me on that,
it's
but
quite
yes,
new.
It's quite new.
It's on Discord, you said.
I'm not sure. It's like don't quote me on that. But I'm not sure, but I've just seen it on YouTube. So actually, what we're going to discuss about today is a bit on brand with, not a bit on brand, but more like just the same terminology. It's called the
Imposter syndrome.
Sounds,
I like it.
Quite intimidating, I would say.
Oh yeah, a bit.
So when you think about an imposter syndrome or somebody who's an imposter, like what comes up in your mind, Mr. Pierre?
An imposter is someone who pretends to have to be like to behave under a different personality, like someone who behaves like someone who is not that person. Wow, it's quite hard to say. Like, I don't know, I will be an imposter if I behave like I am the director of the company and actually I'm just a senior someone. And I will behave like, you know, being an imposter is just pretending to be someone you are not.
That's right. That's basically what an imposter is. Just like acting as if you're somebody when in reality you're not.
Mm.
But then imposter syndrome is something that is a bit more different than being an imposter.
Exactly.
So I have read about the imposter syndrome from my beautiful source of information, which is Reddit. So first I came across the term imposter syndrome from people who get complimented by their boss saying, "Wow, you did an amazing job." It's like you could become one of the managers if you keep up with this job.
And you are scared to become an imposter. This is why it's called imposter syndrome. And so you will just step back.
Yeah, more or less. But it's like you got praised.
More or less. Yeah.
And then you feel like, wow, I did not do anything of that. So you feel like an imposter. It's like, wow, I scammed my manager into thinking that I am the best in what I do. But really, it's like, I didn't do anything. I'm not skilled. I'm not, you know, I am not the best at this thing. It's like,
mm-mm,
you feel like you are an imposter in what you're doing. When in fact, really, it's just that you're skilled. It's just an issue where you don't accept that you are more than capable of doing your job, let's say in my example. So if that makes sense, it's a bit different from when, you know, you haven't gotten a job or anything. It's more like limiting beliefs for you. It's like nothing has been achieved yet. But when it comes to having an imposter syndrome, it's like you have achieved so much, but then you believe like, wow, I don't deserve this. It's like, you know, I didn't
it's
have...
too good to be true, or...
Yeah, like you feel like, you feel in yourself that I'm not good enough. Like, it's...
And you are never good enough.
Yeah, so...
That's the problem of this syndrome.
Yes.
Obviously, don't worry, this syndrome can be, well, treated. It's not something you have it forever. It's just like a psychologic limiting belief, like what you said, Elle.
Yeah, to some it's just limiting beliefs, like actually not trying and actually not achieving things, which is like a different branch in itself. But like imposter syndrome is when basically you have achieved so much, but then you feel like, I didn't do this, you know, like I'm not that skilled enough. Like it's just could be luck, could be anything else, but I just don't accept that the skills that I have now is the reason why I am achieving this. You know, it's like they have a hard time believing that, you know, they are actually skilled, which is some people experience nowadays. And I think I just read in Wikipedia, it's like before they think that women are mostly affected with imposter syndrome. It's like
mostly women.
Yeah, mostly women, but
because of the education they had.
I'm not sure, but it's like could be any factors. I wouldn't be the one to say because I haven't really read enough. But
you are a woman, so
not necessarily, because current study shows that both men and women actually experience having imposter syndrome. It's basically could be traced from past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Could be from mostly from past experiences, I would say. But yeah, like so have you experienced having that having a moment in your life where people just say, "Wow, you're amazing, Pierre," and you feel like, am I really deserving of this praise?
Little bit, not too much, to be honest. I have been quite lucky, but I have noticed usually self-taught people are maybe more vulnerable with this and might suffer with the imposter syndrome. It's funny, when I say suffer, it sounds like you suffer from a disease or no. Imposter syndrome is just a limiting belief, is nothing bad, but you have to be aware of it and you have to know how you can, like every time you believe it's too good for you, or you shouldn't be promoted to this position, or you don't feel comfortable, you should remind yourself, oh, probably it's because imposter syndrome, so how can I go beyond this one? Because otherwise you will always be limited because of this for your entire life. It's like a barrier. In my case, I don't really think I have the imposter syndrome, fortunately. But maybe sometimes, especially when I have to negotiate my salary, I don't know if it's because of the imposter syndrome. Otherwise, every time you say, oh, imposter syndrome. I think in my case, it's more, I'm not confident enough. But maybe it's a little bit imposter syndrome.
Could be. It's like
it might be linked with the imposter syndrome.
We're not experts here. Yeah. So yeah.
We didn't study. I mean, we don't have any degrees
in
psychology or whatsoever. But in my case, I quite like psychology. And I believe you too, Elle. Mostly thanks to Reddit. usually to negotiate my salary, sometimes it's a little bit harder, and I know I worth more. Usually, I think I have done already quite a bit of progress. I mean, I'm already better, because obviously, like everybody here, I believe we always want to be a better version of ourselves. You know, like, of course, this is why we are speaking about the imposter syndrome. We have to improve, but imposter syndrome, the way it's been described, I don't think I do suffer with imposter syndrome. What about you, Elle?
Well, for me, I really like corn, just kidding. Okay.
You really like
corn.
Corn, oh.
Sorry.
Isn't it a song?
Yeah, it is a song. But well, going back, not to digress or anything. Well,
let's not digress. Yeah.
Yes. For me, it's like, I don't know, who am I to say this and that to myself, you know? But I could be in denial too. It's like same thing. It's like I'm undergoing the situation where I have to take an exam to be able to practice what I was practicing back in my home country. And I feel like even before starting the exam or even taking the exam, I feel like, wow, like hopefully I will pass, and you know, maybe I'll have the lowest score, just thinking without really knowing, just assuming. And then one person told me, like, well, my friend did that too, and I saw her and I see you can do it. She told me that, like you can do it for sure, like you can pass it, you just have to study a lot, but you can pass it. It's like, you know, seeing her friend and probably, you know, comparing her friend to me, she said that, yeah, you can do it, just study.
Comparing and with what? Like,
comparing
what you knew already, or what, like, the way you are learning, like, you are learning quickly, maybe, she
No, it's more like her perception of me.
Perception of
her
you.
Her perception of me saying that, well, she speaks like this and that, or she moves like this and that, she decides like this and that. So her perception of me is probably like, wow, she can do it, you know. Even my coworker is like, she tells me that, yeah, you're really smart. And from what, you know, like, from what, like, the way you speak and stuff like that. And then I feel like, from where do you get that? And then I don't believe them, you know, because from where? Like, how do you know? And then
you look like brilliant when the way you speak.
Yeah, it's like maybe the way I don't know. And I feel like it's wrong, you know. And
so this might be the imposter syndrome. You don't want to be that smart person who, I don't know, who knows everything, or who
people perceive me to be somewhat somebody who knows things. But in my head, it's like, I don't know, I don't know. It's like, it's not really, it's just because I know that doesn't mean I'm that, you know. Do you get me? It's like people,
isn't because you know it that you might become like, I don't know, that exam was to become a pharmacist. I mean, yeah. at least to have the license to pass the exam and the board exam, and you thought, oh, it's not because I learn quickly that
I'm
you
smart.
Don't have to see me as someone who will pass directly the board exam.
Like, I assume you're smart because you learn really quickly. It's like, just because of that, but then in my head, it's like a lot of people had told me that, you know, like, so what
so it means you might be that person.
That's right, but then I still
But
don't
why
believe
why
it.
you don't like to be that person? Because you are scared
like
to
it.
Be an imposter? Or it's nothing about being
it's nothing about being, I'm not scared of being an imposter, but I feel like I am a bit, like, sometimes I've scammed these people into thinking I'm this kind of person. But no, not really, I am not. It's not that I'm scared, it's just that I feel like I don't have the capabilities.
Right.
You know, like, but why do you assume that I do?
So how could you fix that issue? Do you know what would be the tips?
I think, like, I've read, like, somewhere, like, psychotherapy. It's basically, like, you go around in circles and they have, like, a take-home...
Test.
Not a test, but more like a take-home activity where you reach out to the people who have told you, like, hey, why do you say that I'm this and that? And then they probably like it's a take home activity for the other person to explain to
living you. With you or
not living with you. I mean, could be, or could be a friend, could be a colleague, and then you ask them, why do you think of me as such as this person? Because you know, and then they probably will explain this and that, and then it would make you understand more as to why you are being perceived that way.
Would you like to do the activity now?
Well, I don't know, because
it might be interesting. I have no idea how to do it, but if you have if you have seen this on the internet, maybe you know how to do the take home activity.
Well, I haven't really read enough of the material to know how to do it, but yeah, some have actually come up with that activity because Actually, I think it's considered like a bit of like something psychological. So
Right.
it's not as it's not as severe as the other ones, but like, you know, it's still something that is considered like you know, like something that is in the head, like, you know. So
Yeah, a limiting belief.
yeah, so but I think sometimes it's like even with all the external validation, like, you know, like awards, like you topped number one in your class, you know, like those validation things, and you still feel like, wow, I'm like, I'm not this, you know. Could, you know, like you think that this is all luck, you know? Could be that I'm in a room full of people who haven't studied, you know. Could
Right,
be
I see.
like, yeah, like reasoning why, not because reasoning.
So you believe if you pass a test, or not a test, but maybe an exam, and if you have the highest score, it's because the others didn't study.
Oh, it could be luck, you know. Like, yeah, I just take the right.
But you don't want to believe it's because I did it well.
Yeah, it's really hard to believe, you
So do you
know.
know how that is it for you? Do you feel like it slow you down to have this kind of belief or thinking?
Yeah, because
It slows you down.
I think having
It's a limitation for your
yes, it's
success.
basic. Well, yeah, basically, having an imposter syndrome prevents a person or an individual from achieving what they could achieve in their career or in their life, just because they have these opinions about themselves. And really, it's quite a limiting factor of moving forward in your day-to-day life. And I have read somewhere as well, let's just say it's Wikipedia,
Okay,
that
that's, you know, doesn't matter the source.
yeah, that, you know, some factors could have been linked or related to having imposter syndrome. It could be your expectations from your peers. It's like they have branded you as somebody who's the smart one, so they expect you to score the highest, to be the number one, to pass in every exam that you take, because they've branded you as somebody, and then now you have
Even
this
if it's not
pressure.
you and you don't feel it's you, you have that kind of pressure, social pressure, either from your family or from some peers.
Yeah, that's right. It's like people have
Some people, yeah.
expectations of you, and then you feel like you have to achieve this and that, and
Because of
now,
some peers or some.
yeah, so some people around you, and it's actually quite daunting when you know when you're at a stage where a lot of people know that, wow, she's really smart, and now it's like you have to prove something, and now you feel like once you achieve it, it's like I'm not really that smart, because you know it's like I worked hard, and then you know it could be luck, and then it could be this and that. It's like it's linked together, and could be where you came from too. I think
Education or
education and where
family.
you came from as well. It's like when you think, oh wow, I'm this girl from like the not so rich part of Asia, and I feel like I couldn't compete with the Western people. Those, you know, it's like it's a perception of yourself, and then you feel like if I compare myself to these people, probably I'll lose, you know. And if you did do a good job and you get praised by people from, let's say, from let's just say Western people, because that's just what I said. That can feel like, wow, I'm a scam, you know, because you have this perception of yourself that you will never be better than those people.
Really?
Yes. So it's like,
Because I believe in Asia, no matter where you are from there, you study 3 times more.
yeah, that's right. But still, it's like, you know,
Always depends, but it's just
depends.
from the news or from like the stereotype you receive, I
Yeah.
believe. Not the reality, but the image you are given, and for you think, oh, because I'm from there,
I would never be
then
better.
I can never be better
I
just
could.
because of the place you are from, but not who you are.
That's right.
So
Just because of the place.
So you see yourself not from who you are, but just because from where you are from.
Yes, and you feel like you're never good and you could never compete, and you know, and if you do actually, and if you do a good job, it's like, wow, I'm a fraud. It's like, you know, because yeah,
so you just believe you cannot be.
Oh, this is not
as good. Like, you believe you are a fraud if, like, you just because of maybe when you are younger or for anyone else, people push them to be someone they don't see themselves to be. Like, you have social pressure, and that social pressure wants you to become the first in every subject. And you don't see you as this kind of person. Like, no, this is not me. I don't match with that kind of, I'm the first. It's not the kind of personality I have. And after, you see also you because from where you are from or what you do, you believe is, no, if I'm that kind of person, it's too much for me if people believe I am this person, like so smart, so whatsoever. It's a fraud or it's just luck.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes with gender as well, it's like, you know, I think I've seen, I think I've read somewhere that power and success is for women, power and success is shown if you are the number one in your job, let's say, like, you're the number one salesperson or something like that, you know? Like, for women, it's that way. And for men, it's like, you know, they're scared to fail. You know, it's they're scared to fail. They're scared to make mistakes. If I read the information right, it's like, you know.
Right. Oh, you're looking at that article. Really interesting.
Yeah, it's like for men, the imposter phenomenon, like, you know, it's like achieving more is driven because you don't want to fail, or you fear like you're becoming unsuccessful in your field. Right. And it's like what drives you is because of the wrong reasons. You know, like, I don't want to be unsuccessful and stuff like that. And then when you do actually try, you feel like, wow, I'm a scam, because at the beginning I really thought that I will fail, you know? And it's like, it's just an endless cycle, to be honest. And
there's no end.
There's no end to
it. So what kind of advice would you give? What kind of pieces of advice would you give to those people?
Well, I'm not an expert or anything, but what I learned from people around me is like, you don't see yourself the way others see you. So maybe when they tell you something, you should believe them.
Yeah. Like, but for you, you said, if people tell you are really smart, you are successful, you can pass this exam, you have the feeling, it's like, I'm a fraud, I cannot do it. This is not me. I'm an imposter.
But
you say you are saying that you should believe those people.
What do you mean? Like those people who will tell you that you will pass?
Yes.
Those people instance. Who encourages you.
Exactly. Yeah,
because especially when like a sentence has been repeated multiple times by different people, it could be true because they did not collaborate to gossip that, let's say this to her exactly. or him. Like, they don't even know each other. So the fact that they're saying the same thing all over again to you could be that it's the truth because that's how they see you, you know?
But at the same time, I know it's hard
to believe for sure. It's like the imposter syndrome is like, start to believe, like, stop. I'm not like that kind of person. But I think slowly accepting, maybe not believing, because you know that's really like
it's a difference.
Like, I mean, like the harder part in having this imposter syndrome is like it's harder to actually believe in people that they believe in you or that you're really smart because that's how they see you, and maybe you really are because you're performing well, you know, or other things. So it's like, maybe start in accepting that that's how people see you, you know, like, maybe accept, like, slowly accept that, yes, this is me. I should stop saying that I am a fraud. My boss, other people had told me multiple times that I am really good at my job. So how come I'm not accepting it? When in fact, external validations had shown it, like, this is the job that I do, and these are the results. People are happy. My boss is happy. I have did well in my job. So why am I still saying to myself that I am not good, when in fact there are proofs out there that I am good? So slowly accepting probably would be good, and realizing in yourself, to be honest, like, realizing in yourself that actually you are capable.
Mm.
Your eyebrows are furrowed. Like, yeah. Are you confused?
No, I'm not confused. I'm just listening to you carefully.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might feel when someone says, oh, you can't do it, don't worry, it will add additional pressure on you, like negative pressure. Then if someone says to you, I'm sure you will do it, you are so smart, you will just do it, then it adds pressure for you to behave or to be someone you don't really feel you are.
Well, it does add pressure, but...
But at the same time, you said you like... I mean, it's positive to receive compliments and, you know, like, to be encouraged. Oh, yeah, you can do it. Don't worry. I know how you did well last time, and I believe in you. It's good to receive those kind of compliments, but it adds...
Pressure. Well... There is a connection, for sure, between being branded as you know, being branded as the smart one. But at this point of my life, where these people, who I don't see all the time, and they tell me that, I've seen you, you can do it. They didn't actually tell me, like, wow, you're really smart, you can do it. Back home, people were telling me that. And it's like, it has become a burden to me.
And you're really smart, it's like...
Well, you're really smart, I expect you to be...
But they don't care. Maybe it's because... you are really smart, you will just do it. You need a little bit more of, I don't know, something more, like, meaningful.
Yeah, something that does not brand you.
Not like, just, you are smart, you will just do it, I don't care. It sounds a little bit like, you know, you are just smart. I don't have to give intention to you. Attention.
Yeah, but, yeah... Basically, back home, people were expecting me to be this kind of person. But right now, when I speak about my exam, they say, wow, that's really hard, but you should do it. I've seen you, and I feel like you can do it, you know? So you should do it. It's basically like
That's much better.
The good encouragement compared to, like, I have seen you as a smart person, so I expect you to pass that exam. That's different. It's like, there's no room for failure. And... This time, what I feel now from people around me and my colleagues, they say that you should do it. I think you can do it. So do it.
It's not easy. And of course, I agree with that. It will take a long time maybe to study. But I know that you are perseverant and you'll be able to do it if you study, because you can study very well. You learn quickly. But indeed, it will take a long time. It's not easy. It's a lot of sacrifices you have to do in your personal life, but if you are ready to do it, I believe in you, you will be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's so, mostly what's kind of the way doesn't change you.
Yeah. It's like they basically, that person, that colleague in childcare, she told me, you really just have to study a lot. Like, you really have to study. So it doesn't brand me as somebody who's like, you're smart, like, so of course you can pass. This is different. It's like you have to put some effort too.
Yeah,
It's
you
it's
do
basically what she
definitely. I
said to me.
see.
It's like you have to study a lot, but do it. It's different. But back home, it's like people just assume you're that person, and of course you can pass it without fail, without
And I
doubt.
believe back home, those people, they don't, for them, they want to do it. I mean, they don't mean it like in a negative way. I believe they don't do it on purpose to, for you to feel bad when they say that. They just, it's from, good reasons. I mean, it doesn't come from like,
Malice.
malice. Yeah.
Yeah,
They
but sometimes
just
it's
want to
like
be nice, but
sometimes
in a
they don't give you room for failure.
I see.
And it's like
So they, like you, after, if you fail that exam, you might say, oh, I have passed, because you know that's the only answer they want to hear. Even if you didn't pass, you might have to lie.
wow, that's a different issue all around, to be
Yeah, it's like
honest.
we digress.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not an expert, to be
No.
honest.
So let's continue in our amazing discussion. So that's really interesting, El, what you spoke about, obviously the imposter syndrome. And you are speaking about, so about an exam. It's like, medical exam can be any kind of exam. In my case, my field is mostly software engineer, and I can also see some people who suffer about, well, about imposter syndrome. It's not easy. I said self-taught people, maybe they might suffer more. It's like, in a field where you have to learn every day something new, and it's really competitive. The younger ones, obviously, they can learn much quicker because they don't have legacy. Like, they don't have things that is not relevant anymore. They just learn the really new things directly. Obviously, in 5 years or 10 years, they will be the same. Like, they will have a lot of things that are not relevant, and I have to know, oh, now we don't do this anymore, we have to do that way, or this technology is dead. Okay, I've spent 5 years learning it, but I shouldn't use it anymore. But since it's a field where everything moves so quickly, it's like a really fast-paced environment as well, where you are usually. It's easy to be a little bit, well, to suffer a little bit about the syndrome, that syndrome. So I don't want to be an imposter. I don't want to pretend I'm like the best, or to know more, or maybe I don't deserve this position, this role. Or sometimes I have seen that quite a lot on code reviews. So code reviews is when you have to review the code. They see an improvement the other developer should do, but they are a little bit afraid to say, oh no, this is not right. Like, oh, what about doing this instead? Or like commenting, oh, I think that way would be better. They're a little bit afraid, even in a really kind or gentle manner, to comment the code, how it has to be improved. They're a little bit afraid to comment this and to comment the code, even if they see a lot of improvements. I believe it's also maybe linked a little bit with the imposter syndrome, where they don't want to be that kind of developer, colleague who knows more, or who pretend to know what's the right way to code, and so they just ignore commenting. Although at the end of the day, especially in a company, you are a team, and so it's to help each other because you share the same goal, is to release that feature, for instance, and you are a whole team working on the same feature. So helping the other person is really important, and code reviewing the code and seeing when an improvement can be done, also it's important, because otherwise the other developer won't know it and won't learn from you. But again, if you have the imposter syndrome, sometimes you don't want to be seen as the why. Who am I to know more than the other one? Maybe. Especially when the other person you review the code is more senior than you, but you believe, oh no, that person actually, I have to tell him there's a better way to do it. Because you might know this part because you have maybe you read an article, or you went to a conference, or you have seen a specific course, or just because maybe you know more that kind of specification than the other person, no matter if the other one is more senior, but you should say it. But again, it's an exercise, and it doesn't happen overnight. You can't know, I mean, you have to practice. The more you practice, the better it is. And I believe it's good to practice first with someone that doesn't intimidate you too much. And then you can practice more and more with like people who are more intimidating for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nothing happens overnight for sure. That I agree the most.
But again, imposter syndrome is something we want to get rid of. If we have, or if we believe we have imposter syndrome, because it's something that will slow you down. It's like a limiting barrier, a limiting belief. And so if you want to move forward and to have maybe a better success, a better position, a better salary, a more senior position in your company, and even like a better self-esteem of yourself, and not always thinking, because I believe when you have the imposter syndrome, you think more than the others. You think more, you know, like you have more thoughts in your head. I don't know if it's the case for you, Elle. I wouldn't even say, I think it's really bad to say to someone, you have the imposter syndrome, because then the person will identify themselves as the imposter syndrome, and you have a lot of different levels, like strong or soft, you know, like can be just a little bit. And again, what it means, you know, it's really vague. It's quite new, I think, imposter syndrome. I don't know when was the first time someone mentioned about imposter syndrome, but I believe it's quite new, probably only like for the last decade or so. And again, when you should never say to someone, you have the imposter syndrome, because the person will just identify themselves with imposter syndrome, and it will slow them down even more. It's more like, how can I help the person without really giving a etiquette, a label to that person?
Yeah, it's quite tricky, especially when, you know, especially when you're, let's say, a colleague and you're not really anything that has mastered the arts of being skillfully saying to people about things like this, you know? Exactly. You're not a psychologist or anything.
No.
You don't study in those things. So it's really difficult, yeah, you know. So anyway.
Now, obviously, you can also help each other, like especially when you are friends, or when you are like, I don't know, it's maybe your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend. So maybe if you are a couple, it's easier probably to help each other. It's a little bit like what's the name again, not a partnership, but when you help another person, what's the term?
Commensalism.
Really? I'm not really sure. It's a I forgot the term, I think, but when you help each other, like you can have a partner, I'm not too sure actually.
Sorry, anyways. I mean, commensalism means that only the other one benefits and the other one neither benefits nor.
Oh, that's not really.
It's not mostly it.
When both of them have the imposter syndrome, you would. I forgot. I think we did one episode, Elle, about this one, about that topic. of helping each other is having a partner,
like having a relationship where both of you grow. How about that?
Anyways, yes.
We're not, you know.
When you help someone else, anyway, let's not digress on this. But I think it's important when you help another person and when you, like, it's something you just want the other person to not say no to some opportunities, or when you know that that person could be in a better position, in a better shape. I know, or you, Elle, you could have a different job, or you could do something else. So you should also speak with the proper words. And sometimes, again, like what we said, Elle, like for you back home, just saying, oh, you are smart, you will do it, that's not really the proper way to help. But just saying, well, I know it's hard, but I'm sure, you know, I know you, and I'm sure if you work hard, you will be able to do it.
Yeah, and just say, if you don't get it, then try again.
Exactly.
You know, not closing the path, you know, it's like not putting a fear that what if you fail, you know, because people have assumed already that you will pass. So, you know, just put it out there and say that, you know, if it doesn't work, then try again.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And finally, failure, you know, it's just a way to learn.
Yeah, failure is just a way to learn. That's really true.
So again, every day it's a new opportunity to learn something, and every day is like a new chance to be a better version of ourselves. But we should never compare ourselves with others, just comparing ourselves with the same of us yesterday. Like me yesterday is today. I'm probably better. Yes, I have learned a few things today actually, discussing with Elle about the imposter syndrome. Do you have anything to add?
Did you meant like a mutualism or?
No, it wasn't this.
I'm digressing again.
Having a partner, you know, like when you want to, it's like having a coach, but not really coaching someone, but having someone that will help you. Maybe like you have a bad habit, or maybe you want to eat better, you will have a...
Oh, I think we've discussed about this. Like
We did an episode about this one.
Like,
Partner.
It's
yes,
like,
exactly. I think you also just... it's on the tip of my tongue, but...
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, it's always annoying.
Like,
having a... not a life partner. What is something similar?
Not gonna lie, we paused the podcast just to have a look because we were so annoyed.
The both of us, and you know, it's so hard when we... It's a bit like, I don't know, frustration.
Yes.
And sometimes we cannot do anything else when we are frustrated.
Yes, it's in the tip of our tongue. So what was it, Mr. Pierre?
Accountability partner.
Yes.
So sometimes I believe it can help you when you have the imposter syndrome. Well, to have an accountability partner, just to help you to, you know, to have someone that knows what's good for you and knows quite well what kind of advice, what kind of pieces of advice to tell to you, the good words, again, not the toxic things to tell you, otherwise that person wouldn't be an accountability partner anyway. And that will help you day per day, bit per bit. Can be just a friend, a colleague, a member of your family, or anyone else, but someone usually that you know a little bit more than just a stranger.
Yeah.
And that person will be able to care, take care of you. I mean, take care of you maybe is not the proper word, but just to help you to go beyond your limiting imposter syndrome beliefs, I would say.
Yeah, you just need somebody to remind you that you're an amazing person.
That's a good advice. Yeah, and by the way, we are amazing, isn't it?
You're amazing, Pierre.
You're amazing, Elle.
Anyway.
Goodbye.
See ya.